Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the Holy Mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each man with his staff in his hand because of age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, If it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, will it also be too difficult in my sight? Declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, I am going to save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west, and I will bring them back, and they will live in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Let your hands be strong, you who are listening in these days, to these words from the mouth of the prophets, those who spoke in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, to the end that the temple might be built. For before those days there was no wage for man or any wage for animal, and for him who went out or came in there was no peace because of his enemies, and I set all men one against another. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there will be peace for the seed, the vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. It will come about that just as you who were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, that you may become a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Just as I purposed to do harm to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I have not relented, so I have again purposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. And let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. And do not love perjury. For all these are what I hate, declares the Lord. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, The fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth months will become joy, gladness, and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. So love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, It will yet be that peoples will come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one will go to another, saying, Let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will also go. So many peoples and mighty nations will come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, In those days 10 men from all the nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Those are the words of the Lord. And so again, you remember chapter 7, the Lord was rebuking Judah because of their asking about the fast, if they should continue doing those fasts and focusing on themselves instead of Yahweh. But now chapter 8, speaking of the same things, comes as a way of encouragement to those same people, or at least to those who would obey and were obeying Yahweh. And while they fasted, they were grieving and sorrowful over their sin. And so they fasted, and in their fasting, they were focusing on the Lord, turning back to Him, wanting the rest of the nation to turn back to Him, and continually pleading that they would be returning to the promised land while they were in Babylon. So here is Yahweh promising to be present with them and dwell in Jerusalem again. And so He's telling them, I'm going to be present with you again. Which points to the fact that the temple will be rebuilt. That was the question in their day. And their struggle with that. Is it really going to be rebuilt? And He's showing here, He's coming back. And so that means that the temple will be rebuilt. And nothing is going to stop that. There will be, again, you see the blessings in the chapter here. You see that the elders will be sit in the streets again like the old days when things were good. And the children will play in the streets. That's a picture of good times and blessing for the people of God. Verse 8 points in the language of the covenant promises being fulfilled, that the Lord would be faithful to be their God and they would be their people. They would be His people. And so then what would come about then is that this country will be rich again. There'll be prosperous. The nation will be successful. Their reputation among other nations will grow and in a good way. And then verse 16 and following. Here's your command. Reform your ways. Obey the Lord in all His word and what He commands you. And in all these things, do not fear, because I am with you. Right? He says that a couple of times here. Do not fear. And it goes back to the promises beforehand. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'm present with you. Their fasting now will actually be turned into feasting. We saw in verse 19. There's going to be feasts instead of fastings. And beloved, as faithful people, as the bride of Christ, we must turn from our sin, just like these people needed to turn from their sin and start obeying the Lord because they were His people. So we must turn to Him from our sin and be encouraged this morning to live for Him, to be satisfied in Him, to obey Him in all things. And we ask the question, why is this? Because it's for His glory. It is for our good. It's going to be for the people's good. Because if they continue to disobey, we would know what would happen. They would be put back into exile, or they'd be destroyed, or they would be fasting again because there would be no feasting. The Lord would take that away from him. But He promises here that's not going to happen. Because they're going to start obeying Him. They're going to build the temple. He is going to be present with them. And so for us, we need to be satisfied in Him and obey Him as He commands. And we ought not to fear, because our King sits on the throne. And He is blessing us, not only with eternal blessings, but present blessings today, which we'll hear about in a few moments. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your perfect, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word, which is easily understood to all of us here in the most basic parts of the Scriptures, the Gospel. And we're thankful for this, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead on the third day. And Father, we plead with You that all here would believe these truths and trust these truths for their lives, that they would not die, but live forever in Christ. And as the bride, as the church, we would be sanctified and cleansed in this life. And these things not only are true of Your church, but we plead for them, that You would sanctify us, that You would give us a greater faith, that You would help us in our struggles of focusing on the world like much of Judah did while they were in the exile, fasting, but just groveling or grumbling and complaining and not really focused on the Lord at all. Now, Father, we pray that we would be focused upon You, upon Your word and Your promises, which give us hope, which give us joy and gladness, even in the midst of great trials. Father, we pray that if we hear Your voice, that we would not we turn aside, but we would listen and heed Your voice, that we would enter Your rest. Now, Father, we also plead with You today that You would be gracious to us and merciful, for we are not deserving of anything good. And we also acknowledge that apart from Your Son, apart from Christ and salvation in You, that we can do nothing. That we can do nothing at all. And we can certainly do nothing good. Father, please be our help by Your Spirit to guide us and to comfort us and to move us to obedience and love for you and being satisfied in you. Father, we do pray for our country, our nation today, that you would cause our nation to turn from its sin and the many leaders, the governing authorities that lead themselves into sin, but then also lead many others into sin by allowing sin to get a foothold and not using the sword as they ought to. Father, we pray that we would be submissive to our governing authorities, and yet we plead also that you would save our governing authorities, that you would change their hearts, and no matter what, Father, we pray that they would rule according to your word, according to your law, that we would be blessed by it. Of course, we don't deserve this, and yet, Father, we plead for it because we do plead in Christ's name. And Father, we do ask that you would help us in our body, strengthen us, but also strengthen us in our souls. For we are weak in faith, weak in our souls, often going after the idols of this world and dishonoring your name and breaking the third commandment. Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. And so shower us with your grace. And help us in our souls, in our bodies, in our minds, in our hearts, our wills, and our affections to glorify you in all that we are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.